The DL Debate is brought to you by the Dry Arch Complex and 24-hour service station Letterkenny.
Welcome one and all to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in, whether now on Highland Radio or back via podcast. It was Championship weekend here in Donegal for our men's hurlers and footballers. Coming up later on the show, we're going to hear from Donegal hurling captain Sean McVeigh after his side's narrow defeat to Mayo in the Nicky record. We're going to hear from former Derry star Conley Gilligan on Donegal's dismantling of Down yesterday in the first round of the Ulster Championship in Newry. And Cathal O'Kane will be on the line to discuss all things GAA and his brilliant interview of Neil McGee, Donegal's greatest fullback ever. But first, just a scan across the Brian McCormick Sports and Leisure Division 1, the Big Four all in action, and the Big Four won again. It was goals galore as Gador defeated Killybegs 3-13-4-5. Niamh Connell won in their local derby with our draw. St Unions won in away to Bundoran, and Kilcare just about edging out St Michael's. Now turn our attention to the big match at the weekend and Donegal's emphatic win against Down in Newry. And after the match, I caught up with man of the match, Ryan McHugh. I'm here pitchside with man of the match, Ryan McHugh. Lots of media stuff. Everybody's out to hear, Ryan. But listen, not a bad complaint being man of the match. A fantastic performance. Great to get the one.
Yeah, no, listen, nobody minds doing media or anything like that after games when you win. It's after games when you lose, the hard part, Bryn. But delighted to come up and get a one. You know, as you know yourself, being involved with teams, championship football is all about winning, no matter if it's 1 point or 15 points. And thankfully, you know, I think we put in a huge performance today, especially the first half, you know, and got off to a good start, let down back into it a wee bit. Back then, it was 6-4, and then the big turning point in the game, I think, came was Jamie's goal, and then really kicked on after that. So delighted with the performance. I think somebody touched on we 10 different scorers, you know, so to get a lot of different players on the scoreboard is massive, and going into the Derry game in 2 weeks.
And tell me, Ryan, what is this Ryan McHugh switch that you have? Because I've been watching you for years, right, in the league. You just seem to cruise through the league. As soon as Championship starts, you just elevate to this other level. What is it that you do?
I don't know. Nah, listen, I suppose Championship's where it's at, Brendan, as you know. You know, listen, I like to think myself I'm trying hard in league matches, who I am, but as a kid and as a young boy growing up, you want to represent your county every single day, but Championship's when you really, really want to represent your county and want to be putting in the big performances. You know, from a personal point of view, I probably was disappointed last year with the three matches. Personally, didn't feel I contributed enough to the team and didn't get on the ball and didn't get into games enough. But good start this year, but I've been around the block long enough to know you're only as good as your next performance you are, you know. So the Derry game's going to be a completely different match, but it's one game that we're really looking forward to.
Yeah, you kicked 4 brilliant points, Ryan. I was laughing because I heard Oisin interviewing you, and he said your dad would mention the two whites. He was doing commentary with us. He did mention the two whites. He's your big critic, but listen, I'm sure he's very proud of you.
No, listen, exactly, Dad, definitely. I knew that's going to be the first thing when I ring him going down the road. It's going to be, what about the two whites? It's not even about the 4 points. But listen, to be fair, I've learned so much off Dad and different sort of stuff, so I can't complain about that.
Yeah, and the Kilcare member of the four today, Patrick, was flying. Owen come on as well, very pleasing. He just says a different game with Derry coming up now. You know, Rory's going to have them well drilled. You know Rory from club and county so well. It's going to be a very different task from Down today.
It is. It's going to be massive. And you know, to be fair to Rory, every team he goes into, he does a great job with them, and he's doing no different with Derry. So he is. He has them playing a certain way. You know, probably a wee bit different than he usually plays. Ultra defensive. He has Derry playing more attacking. I've seen a couple of games of them. So I think they've a lot of power and a lot of pace about them. So it is. So it's going to be a massive game, and it's going to be completely different today. But again, Bryn, that's what you play football for. You know, as you know yourself, it's what you, as a young boy growing up, you want to be playing in top matches, and we have a chance to do that in no better place than Balbuffet.
Well, you said earlier Championship's the time to do it. Yeah. You definitely did that today, Ryan. Plenty more of that coming up this season. Thanks very much.
Good man. Cheers, Brendan.
Right. Top stuff there from Ryan McHugh. And now as we turn our attention to some analysis of the big game, and I'm delighted to say I'm joined by former Derry sharpshooter, now coach at Kilcare. It is the one and only Conleith Gilligan. How are you today, Conleith?
Yeah, look, great. The sun's shining, Brandon. It's a lovely Monday.
Lovely Monday, Conley. What are you at for the day? Are you putting your shoulder to the wheel?
No, I'm actually on holidays for a couple of days now, so I have a wee bit of time at home. But there's enough jobs going between tidying up and
the woman. The woman is the
woman. Go back to work.
The woman is the list there for you.
A list is left, yeah. So I'm just ticking them off as they go.
Good. Talk about ticking off lists, Conley. We're just wondering about this game of football. You know, just before we get into the game yesterday, I mean, Kerry 322, Mayo 323, Donegal 225. I mean, things just going to script completely at the weekend, Connie, and the superpowers just seem to be on another level.
They are, and I was a bit surprised at that. Like, I knew them teams were well ahead, but I kind of thought maybe the gap between Division 1 and Division 2 was maybe 6, 7, 8 points, and then it ratchets up beyond that. But in Championship, most teams have got 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks to plan for it, set their traps, get their defensive system sorted out, see where they can maximise their scores. But no team this weekend was able to get anywhere close to that. It was just as if the gulf is just too wide that you can't even keep games tight for long periods. And to be fair to Down, you know, for 26, 27 minutes yesterday, they did keep it relatively tight, but it just looked like they were holding back the water.
Yeah, and colleagues, I was up at the game with you yesterday. We weren't too impressed with the sound bites was coming out of Paddy Talley yesterday, and then, you know, even today, I kind of no complaints. It almost seemed like they were coming there expecting defeat.
Well, I think there's an element of, you know, they hadn't been going well. Yeah, they'd rallied a wee bit, the leash, but to stay up in Division 2, which is very important from a Down point of view. But, you know, in the week coming out, you know, the chat was, you know, we're putting our best foot forward, we're just trying to give a performance, and, you know, we want to do our best. And it just didn't sound to me like there was an ambush on the cards. And given the fact that Cavan caught Donegal cold last year, Donegal were probably better prepared going into the Down game this year than they would have been for Cavan last year. So the chances of things going wrong wasn't going to come to fruition. Plus, Park Astor is normally a hard place to go to because there's always noise Down. One thing about them, they support their teams. But yesterday, with only 500 people, it was like a ripple, and it was almost like a neutral game for Donegal, and everything just fed into that. And I suppose outside of Murphy's injury and maybe Ray McHugh limping off at the end, it was nearly a perfect day for Donegal.
Yeah. Did you think Donegal changed styles without Murphy? I know they've played the last few games without him, which I think is probably a help in terms of, listen, if he does get an injury, because we did seem to really miss him, particularly say in that Monaghan game, for example. Donegal team seemed to change style a wee bit, going more direct inside to Alexa McBurdy after he went off.
Well, I think they did, because, you know, I commented to you early on before Murphy pulled up that he didn't look comfortable. He was one-on-one with McGovern, and instead of dropping the shoulder and going, he just laid it off very cheaply to Mongan, which isn't really, really like him. And I was worried at that stage. But and also a bit was that McBurdy looked a very frustrated figure early on. He was sort of out shouting and he pointed about the ball in. But when Murphy came off, Murphy was playing off the D, and when he came out, people were handing the ball off to him all the time. And obviously it's a tried and tested method in Donegal, but when he went off, the ball started to be left in to McBurdy, who was kind of one-on-one all the time. And nearly every single ball looked to him as the outlet, whereas he was only getting half or less of the ball when Murphy was there. So he looked like he just opened up at that stage. And from the point of view of Donegal, if they could get Murphy fit and they could play him out the field and leave McBurdy in that position, like yesterday he wasn't markable and down at 2 or 3 players on him, but there really was no answer.
It's an interesting point, Conley, because there's always been a clamour for years for Murphy to be inside, to keep him inside, etc. But when you have a player as good as McBurdy, and Donegal have so many scores, you think that Donegal need a bit of, you know, sometimes power around the middle or someone to spray in those passes. There's nobody better than Murphy. And also maybe just to hold that centre area. You know, there was a few breaks from Down went through the middle of the Donegal defence, and obviously the Mooney goal. You know, I think Donegal, if anything, need a bit of protection around their defence just to hold that bit tighter, because if they're going to be challengers, there's no doubt in this, and they're going to score plenty, Conley. So you just worry about their defence and some of their one-on-one defenders.
Yeah, well, the thing with Murphy is he's so important to their game, and that he just leads and he talks, and he, you know, like the referee gave a free, one of the times the referee gave a free out against him for pulling McGovern in a one-on-one, which I thought actually was maybe the other way around, but Murphy was out at the referee, and he's so influential around the middle. And as well as that, you touched on it, you know, McFadden's role getting back in there to help the defence yesterday, it probably wasn't as effective as it should have been. Like, they coughed up 3 goal chances. You know, against better teams, they're going to take at least 2 of them, and it's game on again. So I think, as stupid as this sounds, I think there is still question marks on Donegal's defence after yesterday, just given the number of shots that Down were able to get away. You know, down to 31 shots away, 3 goal chances. And granted, they were under pressure, and probably Donegal were happy enough that they were shooting from just outside the high percentage scoring zone. But as you move up in class, that percentage scoring zone gets out a wee bit further and a wee bit further. And the one thing moving forward to the next team that Derry have, and Shane McGuigan, Kieran McFall, Emmett Bradley, is they've got long, rangy kickers. So it's a wee bit more dangerous to say just anywhere outside the D will do.
Yeah. And you're on about the divisions there, Connie. The fact that, you know, I know Derry have had a great season so far. They had a brilliant final one against Offaly and played some great football. They were playing in Division 3, though. You were on about the step down to Division 2. You know, can Derry make that leap that they can come up to be competitive with Donegal?
Yeah, well, the caveat to all the talk about how good Derry have been is based on the fact that they are playing in Division 3 and they are playing teams who just weren't at the same level that Derry were at. Derry hit the ground running. They came back in great shape. You know, the signal warning was there for Division 3 teams that Derry were playing whenever they put a huge score on Longford. Very few teams go to Pierce Park and win, let alone put 14 and 15 and 16 points on them. Derry's average winning margin was 11 points. So from that point of view, it was very easy for Derry. They played a very nice brand of football. You know, going away from probably what people expected Rory Gallagher to do, you know, was pack the defence and play a very cagey game. He's actually went the other way. He's allowed his player to go man-to-man at the back. He's pushed up heavily on kickouts. But in Division 3, even you lost an odd kickout, even you go man-to-man, you lost a point. But at the very top level that Donegal are playing at, just you get punished every time you make a mistake. And that will be the thing that Gallagher will have to look at. Does he stick with what he has done and has served him very well? He's a very consistent, settled 15 nearly, 13, 14. Does he stick with that or does he twist? And a twist would be changing completely what he does. He's had a wee bit of time now. He had that game. He's had been able to see Donegal now. And here's the option. And this will show just how tactically brilliant Gallagher would be if he was to change the system and to really stake out Donegal. Because when Donegal are looking at this team, there's no point looking at last year's games for Bonner. He needs to look at this year's games. And he'll have looked at them all. And Derry have played a very similar way in all those games. If Gallagher was to change that, then all of a sudden, Donegal would have to do a bit more homework. And then Donegal might, as we talked about yesterday, Donegal might have to change. They are probably going to have to put somebody in Gareth McInnes because he has been probably their best attacking threat from that half-back line.
Yeah, interesting stuff. You think Championship, though, as much as we'd like Derry to come and have a go at Donegal, you just think they're going to drop in Conleith and probably play a tough brand of counter-attacking football?
Yeah, I think so. And the Ballybuffet will play tight. And the one thing that a Division 3 team or a Division 2 team coming up against a Division 1 team has to do is they have to get out of half-time somewhere close. You know, if there's a breeze, which there mostly probably is in Ballybuffet, into the shooting goals, Derry need to take it. They need to get a 2, 3, 4 point lead perhaps, because if Donegal get into the lead, get the ascendancy, they would just keep picking you off, and if Derry would have to open out, then that's when they'd be in trouble. But the key to all these games, and we look at this weekend, obviously coming, where there's Division 1 teams, Division 2 teams against Division 3 and 4 again, there's always a danger. But if you can keep it tight to half-time, you can get down the home stretch with 15 minutes to go, through the kitchen sink at it, you just don't know. But so many things would have to go right for Derry on the day to be in a position with 15 minutes to go that they're within a score of Donegal.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, I set up for an interesting one, Conor. Conor, just going back, I know you were asked a question yesterday in commentary. There was all this talk, just going back to Down there, and players not making themselves available, but you put that to bed yesterday. There was only really one player from the club you're coach in Kilcoo who didn't make himself available for Down this year.
Yeah, look, there was only Jerome, and there's a lot of stuff going on, a new business, and he's very busy with that. And to be honest, I would love to see him involved there, because that game yesterday would have needed him. We had three players involved there yesterday. Obviously, Paul Devon didn't play any part. So, no, there's no issue. Six were in the panel last year, and a couple of those weren't asked back. So, look, no, there's no issue from that perspective. But coming back, that Poland didn't play yesterday. Obviously, Johnny Flynn was a miss for Down, and we're down or at, and to stay in Division 2 again and maybe improve, they do need all their best players playing, as do most counties. You know, Donegal at the minute have got a riches of talent. You know, we're sub-bench coming off, you know, Owen McHugh, you know, McGarrigan. You know, those are players that would make probably every team in Division 2 and maybe some at the bottom end of Division 1 week in and week out. So Donegal have Jamie Brennan and subs to come on, and just a wealth of riches, and that's the difference. At the minute, Derry's doing really well also because, you know, probably outside of Danny Town, who left the panel earlier on with lack of game time, every other player has stayed put, and every other player that Gallagher wants is there. You could argue that Enda Lynn and different players like that and Ryan Bell, you know, would have something to offer. But Gallagher's pinned his colours to the mast and who he wants. And at the minute, it seems to be working for him. The players have bought into what he wants to do, and they've prepared very well. Like in other years, maybe players that weren't getting game time would have been slipping off and playing an odd league match, and that caused a bit of tension. None of that has happened this year, because when you're winning, everybody wants to be involved. Everybody wants to toe the line. It's only whenever things aren't going well that you have those types of internal discipline problems.
Yeah, as you said, some brilliant forward performances. When you look at the likes of Mogan, obviously McBurdy, McHugh, we've talked about there. Like Owen McHugh come on and did well. Jimmy Brennan, what did you think of the goal? We've seen this so many times, Conley, if a guy's got a defender on his back, you're just not looking at his feet. But there's a few complaints that that wasn't pulled up.
Yeah, see, some of the things were, but they're only tiny steps. I don't think that's a defence. But look, it's happening more and more. If you look in All-Ireland finals, you know, McCaffrey's goal, like, often there's 6, 7, 8 steps. Whenever a player's been pulled at or hauled, the referee has allowed the advantage to the man on the ball and the attacking man, which I personally think is fair enough. The man playing the ball needs to get every advantage, but there comes a stage where you have to say enough's enough. You know, I'm not sure if it was 12 or 13 steps, but it was lots of steps, but he took it brilliantly. And at that time, coming off the bench, that was Kane. I know he'd been injured, but that was Kane just saying, look, I'm here, I want to start the next day. And I think he scored 1-1, and he has really set himself up that, you know, for example, if Murphy happens to be rested the next day, you know, Jamie Brennan's probably the first name on Declan Bonner's lips.
Yeah, certainly, certainly. And tell me now, Conley, just come back to your own setup. Richie Thornton, who's been down here coaching in Donegal and managing units, he's joined your setup. You're a big push coming from Kilcoo again this year.
Yeah, Richie joined up this year. I suppose I would have known Richie from Killeen and from round home. And again, he's just come in, look, absolutely brilliant coach. Great with the players, a great way with them. You know, I suppose probably wasn't lucky with St Junan's on a couple of occasions. Like, they came up against, you know, at that stage it was really good Neve Connell teams, really good Kilcar teams. So was unlucky not to do well, but now absolutely brilliant coach and has fitted in brilliantly and is doing really well so far.
Yeah, top stuff. Listen, we'll be all keeping an eye on you now. Donegal teams are back competitive in Ulster. We're always looking at the big guns, and I don't think there's any bigger than Kilcoo at the minute. Yourself and of course Mickey Moore, who coached here in Donegal, absolute gent of a man. What a great setup Kilcoo have. Listen, I'll be seeing you then in Ballybuffet in a few weeks' time. Conleith, the heart and the head, what are you saying there? To keep it tight and at least till half time?
Look, if Derry could keep it tight to half time, like they do, if you look at those players, you know, if you look at all the Derry players, you know, from Slackneedle, Glen, Ballinderry, those clubs, once they get out in Ulster, there's absolutely no inferiority complex. If it was a Derry team playing a Donegal team in Ulster club, you'd be saying, yeah, look, you know, we have a fair decent chance here. But the problem is, this Donegal team is just 4, 5, 6 years further down the line on the different managements. Rogers came in and he has added a wee bit of something. You know, Derry will be competitive in a year or two. They will be challenging if they can keep things together. But I think probably for this time, you know, I think they will give a game of it. I don't think it'll be anything like what's happened in previous weeks because they do have scoring forwards. And that always gives you a chance, but it just in terms of the physical development, the setups, and its home advantage for Donegal, very few teams ever come out of Ballybuffet with a victory. So from that, it probably is advantage Donegal. But I think Derry will give a really good account of themselves. And it's just a pity this year that there is no backdoor, because this is a Derry team that would probably really do well. You know, they would enjoy going down the country when the pressure's off. So it's just unfortunate this year that there is no backdoor and it's a straight knockout for Derry.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, because some people say about the backdoor and what's the point, but you're right, Derry, with the side they have, could go on a run. It would actually lift the squad a lot heading into Division 2. Just lastly, Conley, the actual Ulster Championship itself, obviously we've seen the comeback of Armagh and Tyrone and Monaghan. Who you fancying to actually win the tournament?
Yeah, well, it's a funny one. It's the first time you're looking at Tyrone and wondering, you know, are they even in contention for Ulster now? Just based on their end of season form. New management in, they're playing a slightly different style. They have been good one week, they have been poor the next. And they probably seem to have a bit of an identity crisis of what they want to be. I think Tyrone will probably revert back to a more defensive setup. You know, they've trailed going man to man and toe to toe, and it hasn't really worked great for them. So I think they'll go back a wee bit more defensively. Monaghan's the one where every year, whenever somebody asks you, who do you think will get relegated, Monaghan's always in your lips, and yet the Monaghan players, out of all the counties, deserve so much credit. Year in and year out, they pull out performances to stay in Division 1 whenever you think they're nearly gone, and they've introduced loads of new players, and I think Monaghan will be very exciting this year. Armagh, again, seen them a couple of times. I think it's McGinney's 7th year, and they've persevered. They've got a very strong panel now, and Ryan O'Neill, probably outside of McBurdy, outside of Clifford, probably one of the, Sean O'Shea, one of the most informed forwards I've seen this year. You know, 6'1", kicks brilliantly off both sides, physically very powerful, very aggressive, can play inside, can play midfield, can go to 11. The versatility of the Armagh team has impressed me. Aidan Faulkner is at full forward, then all of a sudden he's doing a man-to-man marking job. So I think on that side of the draw, Armagh probably could go to an Ulster final. And or they need a big scalp as well, because 7 years in the state in Division 1, that's important for the development, but they probably need to take out a Monaghan, a Tyrone, a Donegal, just to save the variety, because everything they're doing looks to be brilliant, and the introduction of Donaghy and McKeever into the setup seems to have freshened things up. And look, Armagh never lose any player, so whatever they're doing in training seems to be working.
Yeah, it's funny, just we made that point yesterday about how Armagh stuck with McGeaney and through the tough times, and they kept together, and that's what Down needs, somebody to come in now and pull the whole county together, because they have the same ingredients. Yeah, you mentioned Donaghy, Buckley coming in. Is it the thing just gone, Leith, that the Ulster teams are all, you know, we've seen them in the league, they're all the draws, they're very, very close. They do seem to be a bit of a way off the big two, particularly, you know, Dublin and Kerry, for example.
Yeah, look, and we talked about it yesterday as well, and the difference in the gaps. Dublin and Kerry seem to be Division 1, and then there's a group of teams underneath that that it's almost like a Division 2. And you could have five divisions in the National League now, and it'll probably be a fair enough way of going. There is a gap. I don't think it's as wide as has been made. I think Donegal, Tyrone, Armagh, I think they will close that come championship. In the league, it was more experimental. I couldn't believe how open the league was. And even coming into the last game, I thought, right, everybody's experimented. Every team was going to get a shot at promotion or to save relegation. But then them other games stayed open as well. But I think once we get to provincial semi-finals, particularly in Ulster, you know, probably Connacht, Leinster and Munster, they're probably dead ducks at this stage. But in Ulster and Connacht, you're still going to get really good competitive games. And that's where the excitement will be. But the broader point is, our provincial championship still fit for purpose? I know an Ulster medal is still so sought after here, and probably a Connacht medal to a lesser degree. But is anybody really thinking about Leinster and Munster, particularly in the big teams of the Dublins and the Kerrys? I know Tipperary and Cavan, they'll value that, and it was brilliant, and it was great for football, but it just looks like the status quo's set to remain the same.
Yeah, I agree, Conley. It's time for a change and a revamp. So listen, I'll see you at Balbuffet, man. Hopefully it'll be a good day.
All going well. Hopefully you'll buy the tea the next time.
We'll get some outdoor dining, maybe, if it's a good day. Good man,
brilliant,
Conley.
Brilliant.
Thank you, much appreciated.
All right, thanks. Talk to you.
And now, folks, just turn our attention to a man who penned a great article at the weekend in the Irish News on a Saturday. It's available up on his Twitter as well if you didn't get a read of it. It is the Irish News' Cathair O'Keehan. How are you this evening, Cathair?
Good, Brendan. Thank you.
You're penning away as we speak there. Hey, does it ever stop?
Thankfully, at the minute, no, it doesn't. When we've had a year basically of no county football, we're very glad of it.
Yeah.
It keeps us from boring everybody to death in nostalgia. So the more football, the better for us.
There was some delving into the archives there. You had to get so inventive, Cathair. It was a real challenge. But listen, there was some fantastic stuff that did come out of that too.
Oh, look, you know, across the country, I suppose it was something very different for any journalist. You know, we're used to the cycle of mostly 11 months of the year, from the McKenna Cup in January to the Ulster Club final on the first week of December. We're used to, you know, very few weekends without football, and all of a sudden it was, you know, stripped away from you. And it is strange, and everybody had to adapt very quickly because you didn't have much time to think about it. But I think people enjoy some of the nostalgia as well. Like, and there's so many stories out there that are lost sometimes in the analysis of football, and you know, sometimes you go a wee bit overboard and analyse games to death and you know, get past the stories that people have, and like I know myself, I've actually very much enjoyed the last year. Talking to a lot of fellas and having conversations that you wouldn't maybe ordinarily have time for. And we're nearly going the other way again now the last month, where we're stuck back into analysing games to death again. So maybe we haven't learned an awful lot, but it was good while it lasted anyway.
Yeah, Cathair, just on that and an overall look of it, you know, we love our sport, and obviously you've seen so much of it in Ulster. Is there a bit of a worry with a few teams in terms of how much teams are pulling away, particularly when we looked at the high scoring of Mayo and of Kerry and of Donegal then yesterday as well, about how far away counties seem to be pulling. Now, I know Armagh, you know, stuck with McGeaney. They have come back to the top table to be challengers again, but it seems like for a lot of counties out there, they're never going to get back into the ability to be a provincial challenger.
It's not particularly a new thing. This gap has been opening over a period of time. I can't remember off the top of my head which year it was, but there was one year where the All-Ireland quarterfinals, what was the average winning margin was something like 18 or 19 points in the four All-Ireland quarterfinals. You know, it's been going that way for a wee while, where the top teams are gradually pulling further and further clear. I suppose it's back to the future in a way, because, you know, for generations, the Ulster and Connacht champions sort of went to Croke Park for a bit. You know, prior to, I suppose, down in the 60s and then the spell in the 90s. But outside of that, you know, you'll find that not too many Ulster champions, unless you were playing the Connacht champions, not too many of them ever reached an All-Ireland final. So, and then we had that great spell through the 90s and the 2000s and the early part of this decade, the last decade with Donegal, where felt like Ulster football was never going to go away. And maybe it hasn't completely, but I think everybody's looking at it that Dublin and Kerry have probably marched a wee bit ahead of everybody else. The gap from Division 1, the teams that are consistently in Division 1 against the teams that even dip up and down, has become enormous. And it is definitely, it is a worry for the competitiveness overall of the sport, but at the same time, it's not a new problem, as I say, and it's something that the solution to hasn't been found for over a century. It's not just in the last few years, so I don't really know myself what the solution is. How do you bring everybody to the level of Dublin Kerry? You can't. How do you bring Dublin Kerry down and allow them to be met halfway somewhere? That's possibly the answer, but then you're stifling creativity and stifling excellence on their behalf. So it's a very, very hard thing. And no competition structure, no backdoor, super eights, round robin, you know, no structure is going to fix it. It's not about a structure. And I don't really know what the answer is for it.
Yeah, do we get a bit hung up in this? But a guy messaged me last night when I put up the article, I think it was on Facebook, and he was saying, how would getting rid of the provincial championships help the weaker teams? Now, that there's quite a lot of sides to an answer to that, but my first thought was, well, maybe why is this to help the weaker teams? The teams that need to help the weaker teams are the weaker teams by and large. I mean, it'd be great, surely, if everybody was competitive. As you said, that's never going to be the case. So what we really need is the best teams playing each other more often. And let's just go for it. And if you do come up the ranks and you get into that zone, then good enough. You know, I know we're GA and we're different, you know, and it's all ingrained around us. And as we said, I love seeing Derry, for example, coming back up. I hope they give Donegal a great game the next day. We want to see competitive fixtures around there. But, you know, this thing of that the GA somehow has to make everybody come up to that level, I think it's within the county. In some counties, just it isn't going to happen. So I think the reason for the provincials, I think, to change is more for me to get the best teams in Ireland playing each other more often rather than, you know, the setup at the minute. I think it'll benefit everybody, I think, across the board.
There's just a very fine line on the whole thing. Like, I agree, like, everybody wants to see, like, wouldn't it be unbelievable to have a, you know, an 8-10 team championship and home and away fixtures and a, you know, a packed Healy Park for Dublin, Tyrone, Dublin coming up the road, or a packed Balbuffet for Dublin, you know, which you don't get, you know, by the time the teams from outside Leinster get to play Dublin, it's still in Croke Park, you know, or it's still at the very best in a neutral ground. I'd love to see some home and away element to a championship. I think that that's one trick we're definitely missing. You're right in that a lot of the time people want to see the best teams against each other, but the problem being that, you know, if you look at some of the problem and you look at the gap that has developed, a lot of it has come since the league structure was changed away from 1A, 1B into a straight, you know, top 8, second 8, third 8, and the top 8 have almost routinely now for 15 years being the exact same top eight, and they are playing each other repeatedly, and it's because they're repeatedly playing each other that they are moving further and further away, and you're finding that anybody coming up out of Division 2 is struggling to stay any significant period of time in Division 1, so they can't get the exposure to those games, and they can't close the gap to those games, and so they're falling back down, and the gap just widens and widens. So there's a fine line with it, and I think for all the talk about championship structures, possibly it's the league structure that these looked at most closely, in terms of trying. You're right in that you can't make a weaker county, you know, some counties use it as an excuse, we have no resources, blah, blah, and you find that, you know, there are counties like Monaghan who have been just, you know, pulled themselves up by the bootstraps and did their own work and brought themselves to a level where they're now going into an eighth straight year in Division 1, you know, and don't have the population. They're fairly well financed, but they don't have the population resources. And, you know, they are the template for counties who can look at it and say, well, look, it's possible to be really competitive. And, you know, a lot of counties probably are just using it as an excuse to not be competitive, that their own internal structures aren't good enough, and it's an easy argument to make that the top has just got too far away from us.
But Gary, do you think then that the league then is unfair? Say, what would you split it up that you've got four of the stronger teams and four of the weaker teams in Division 2, if you like, and split them up that way?
It's like anything, I suppose we're always looking for change in the GAA, and then when we get change, it's like the rule changes, you know, everybody's thinking, you know, we need to fix this, and then when the rule changes come, it's like, why are we changing the bloody rules? and you know, people would look at it, if somebody said tomorrow, Larry McCarthy turned around and said tomorrow, we're going to change the league structure, I think people would go bananas, because league structure over the last 20 years has actually been in one way fantastic, because the teams that are playing against each other in the league are generally very well matched, and the league games have gone to a standard and a quality and an excitement level and entertainment level that has never been before, and there's a huge element of that before you go changing the leagues. But the problem being that the gaps are nearly becoming, well, there is your top eight, there is your second eight, there's your third eight, and there's your fourth eight, and it's very, very hard for anybody to break into the next group up properly and stay there. So you're looking back at the old 1A, 1B structure, where basically the top 16 were split in two. Not unlike the hurling structure that's there at the minute, where the top 12 are split in two. It's not they've gone away from a 1A, 1B to a kind of a mixed up Division 1. And in terms of improving the second group of eight to the level where they can compete, I think in terms of widening the base, you can't throw Carlow and Limerick and Antrim and Sligo in with Dublin and Kerry and Tyrone and Mayo and Donegal and expect them to not be drowned. But you could throw them in with Fermanagh and Clare and some of the teams out of the middle ground and say, well, there's your opportunity, there's your chance to go and get better, go and play those teams repeatedly over the next 4 or 5 years and see, can you get yourself up the hill a wee bit. And as much as it may be unpopular and it might, you know, take away from some of the spectacle we've had in the league, for the overall competitiveness of the championship and the sport of Gaelic football as a whole, it might be something that needs looked at.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, Carr. I just wonder if there was a 1A and a 1B then, would the next level down, would they then be screaming here, we can't get in and mix it with you? I think there's just always going to be a bit of have and have nots. I just like to see that the top teams playing each other. That home and away thing, as you said there, Carr, that would be fantastic. Then again, listen, I'm a Donegal fan and we tend to be in about those top games all the time. So maybe it's easier for me to say. But Carr, listen, you took a trip to Donegal there to the beautiful Gidoor to meet Mr. Neil McGee, the man going into, well, his 17th season. Hard to believe, by Paddy Talley, was giving off about down players not committing past three or four. And you've Neil McGee, words. I don't know how they introduce Neil McGee now in terms of the legend tag, just wouldn't cover it, Ciarán.
Look, so well. The thing that has come back to me over the last couple of days since the article appeared is you know, just how well got Neil Magee is in Donegal. You know, he I suppose, like any outside, every county has its cult heroes, you know, and sometimes people outside the county don't recognise the standing of a player within the county, if you know what I'm saying. Mm. And it's not that anybody didn't recognise the ability of Neil Magee with the three All-Stars and all the rest of it. Like, he's been one of the premier fullbacks in football over the last generation and more. But it's just how well regarded and how loved he is in Donegal that sort of struck me over the last couple of days, where I think people found what I found from him that day down with him a few weeks ago, like that he's just a very sort of level, grounded, normal, quiet fella. There's no, you know, and you would know from playing with him, you know, quiet, as he said himself, quiet outside his environment, quiet in public, and, you know, if he met you in the street, he mightn't stand and chat to you for half an hour, but when he's in his own circle, and when he's in, you know, as you know, he's fond of the crack too, like, and fond of the nights out, and fond, you know,
yes,
so
yes.
There's two different types of quietness, and I just think that he just comes across as a very, very, very popular man. You saw that in the ovation that he got coming off Newry on Sunday, where, you know, for the only time of the game, it felt like there was about 5,000 people in Park Esner when he was taken off with 5 minutes to go.
After
throwing himself full length to block Jim Guinness's shot, like, which was sort of summed him up as well. So,
he summed him up very well there. Cahir, you're right. I mean, he would always down the back of the bus with us. He was one of the lads, you know, and once you meet him down in Mickey's, whatever, there with a few pints, he was the best of crack guy, but he would be quiet. Off that, and you know, you're talking about that reception he got yesterday. I think, you know, people are analysing Magee now, and as I said to people, there's going to be absolutely no criticism of Magee in terms of his legs aren't as fast as they used to be, because he has been such a servant to us. So whatever he's doing this year is way above and beyond the call of duty. So whatever he does for Donegal, absolutely fantastic, because what's it, 191 appearances? I don't think we're going to get him possibly to the 200, Gary. He might hold on another season. Or do you see him doing a Cluxton and just sailing off into the sunset?
He might hold on for, I said to him that day, like, you know, all you have to do is win the All-Ireland this year and play the three McKenna Cup games next year and then retire. You've got the 200, so nice and handy way out. But I think, as he said himself, when he goes, there'll be no big fuss. Mm. He'll step out quietly. Somebody will make a fuss. Somebody will find out. Somebody will break the news, and there'll be a fuss over him because he deserves a fuss. But you're right. Like, I think there's no doubt, outside even Donegal, that, you know, in one sense, the fact that Neil Magee still has to play for Donegal, and that's the thing that I think that he's still a vital cog in that team, because they haven't found a replacement for him. And that would be a worry. That would be a real concern for Donegal, that he's now, he'll be 36 in November, and they still are worrying, geez, what if Neil Magee goes in the winter, boys? What are we going to do? Who are we going to put in the number three shirt? Mm. And that sort of sums up one problem, but that's not Neil McGee's problem. As you say, like, he has no more to give. He owes nobody anything in Donegal. Like, and I think that they'll definitely miss him when he goes, for sure.
Listen, I'm not looking forward to that day. And I just tweeted you the last night there, Cahir, just 2014. You know, only Martin McHugh, obviously, and Lacey's got Footballer of the Year in Donegal. And that was, you know, him 2014. He marked the best five forwards in Ireland, 2 points from playing, including Donoghue in the final, who got Player of the Year. I think that was a chance for them to, you know, give it to someone like a defender, which isn't usually that popular, but to me, he earned that accolade that year, which I was disappointed he didn't get that.
I saw your tweet, and it was actually something I'd either didn't realise or forgotten, but that level, obviously I knew he was outstanding that season, but that stat of keeping five men like that to 2 points was some going. The Football of the Year award does tend to be weighted towards forwards, as you know. Mm. That's just the nature of it. I suppose that's the nature of what people expect from it too. I suppose if you ask the vast majority of ordinary punters, to pick a footballer of the year at the end of the season, you would find that probably 75-80% of them would pick a forward, because those are the men that catch the eye there. But maybe there should be a wee bit more of a selective process. You could start doing a whole debate about the All-Stars and different things that sort of would annoy everybody. But there's no winning with the All-Stars.
No.
And it's very, very... It is tough picking. I am not on the All-Stars committee, but I know the fellas that are, and I know it's tough picking, so...
Don't envy them, Miller. It's a fucking difficult task to take on. Ciara, listen, your article's up there on your Twitter there, Ciara O'Kane, from the Irish News. Thanks so much for your views this evening and for that great article on the legend, one of the greatest, Neil McGee.
Good man, thank you, Brent.
Thanks, Ciara. Now we take a look across to O'Donnell Park from Saturday's game as Donegal began the defence of their Nicky record. And I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Donegal captain Sean McVeigh. How are you this evening, Sean?
Yeah, good, keeping well. Resting up after the weekend, I suppose, trying to get a bit of recovery in. So, yeah, all good.
All good, good man. Sean, just earlier in the year we played Roscommon in Division 2A and at the park, and we did a bit of a smash and grab. Was the tables turned on us on Saturday with Mayo, that late goal taking them to victory?
I think so. It very much felt that way at the end. I suppose overall we were kind of disappointed with our performance. You know, we made a lot of mistakes, hit quite a few wides, but kind of managed to work really hard and kind of get ourselves into a position where we were 4 points up going into the last 5 minutes or so, and kind of looked like it was just about seeing the game out. And then I suppose kind of shot ourselves in the foot completely at the end, and there was that sucker punch of the goal on the point, and then momentum completely swung against us. So bit of a deflating one at the end, but I suppose those things kind of come and go, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Sean, we've had a real ding-dong with Mayo lately. I suppose the Nicky record, their final, we beat them in last year. They went in as favourites to the game. The league game then in the park, we gave them an awful hammering. Did you think that was a bit of a danger going into the game, that they would have been smarting from that and coming with a point to prove?
Oh, absolutely, and I suppose even when you look at the game from the league earlier this year, you kind of look at the stats around, you know, shots and puck outs and breaking balls and stuff like that. It was very close, and I suppose the difference that day was we were clinical in the first half and we got those couple of goals, and then we kind of tagged it on early in the second half, and that was probably the winning of the game. So now we knew going into this it was going to be close. It always is a bit of a battle, and it comes down to small margins, you know, kind of making less mistakes and all those sort of things. So no, we're prepared that way. I suppose from our point of view, we're just kind of disappointed with how we kind of seen the game out and the level of mistakes that we made kind of across the pitch, you know.
Yeah, and tell me, Degan Coulter, another huge tally, 9 points, had some cracking scores in the game.
Flying, yeah, and you could tell at the start too, he was getting a bit of attention from them lads as well. They know the danger that he poses, but Declan's a top class hurler, and you know, we know when we get the ball into him, you know, it's just about supplying him really, and he's going to take the man on and do the job from that side. But I suppose it was good to see the likes of Big Richie there as well, was kind of chipping in, and we've another few lads, Barney was chipping in there as well, and we kind of watching Grant come on off the bench too, another young lad from Moncrana who was kind of contributing to things as well. So no, like, it's all good, and I suppose that was the main point from the weekend. You know, Declan was great, but we got some other lads in and get some game time at the championship level as well, which is fantastic going forward.
Yeah, there's another dual man. I know you're a great dual footballer yourself. Keith Higgins has put his lot behind the hurlers there. Was there something about the last day he missed his car broke down or something for that league game? Was there something like that happened?
I heard something about that, all right, but to be honest, I'm not sure. But he never showed up on Letterkenny anyway, so we never kind of got a rattle at him that day. But I suppose when you look at yesterday, it's probably the difference at the end when he kind of rattled in that goal. So look, he's a top class hurler, and we played against him a few times over the years, and I think a lot of people down in Mayo rate him very highly and reckon he could play in a lot of teams down in Galway. Like, but look, proved his class, I suppose, towards the end, and he still got a bit of the pace about him anyway.
Where does he operate for Mayo in the hurling?
He's playing full forward. He was in full forward there yesterday, and he seems to be hitting the freeze this year as well.
Freeze as well, handy boy. Listen, we're away to Leitrim now on the 10th, Kerrigan Shannon. How do we fix for that game? That's something we're going into, I suppose, as favourites.
Probably will go into it as favourites, and I suppose it's just about regrouping now. So we'll be back at it tomorrow night, and we'll look at the game, I suppose, over the weekend, and try and correct a few things and try and iron a few things out. But it's do or die for us now from here on in. We know that we need to improve. You know, that's that's the not the result we wanted at the weekend, but you know, you're kind of lucky the way things are laid out that you get a second chance. So yeah, look, Carrick and Shannon in a couple of weeks' time, and look, we're not going to be able to make the same mistakes again, and try and get a result there and then see what we can do that, but definitely not looking any further than that.
And tell me, John, there's a good buzz about hurling, you know, there's new teams coming in. You know, Donegal only stayed in Division 2B once before in their history. They did it again this year. They're the Nicky record champion, so a lot of good things happening there. There's a good buzz, there's a good feeling of around hurling in the county.
Yeah, it's a good time for Donegal hurling, you know, and you're exactly right there. There's a lot of clubs popped up in Donegal this last year. I was actually just looking at, you know, the senior hurling league table there today, and you've got a whole array of teams there. You've got Ballyshannon, Carndonagh, Dunloe all back in it. You've got Buncrana, ourselves, you know. There's a really good league format there now, and I suppose that just leads to people getting more games as well, which will hopefully ride it up. And then I suppose with the county team kind of getting into Division 2 and winning Nicky Rackers and kind of raising the standard there, that filters down into the clubs. And there's a really good feel factor there. And look, hopefully we can kind of keep improving if we can kind of advance a bit further in this Nicky Racker and then go back into the clubs and raise that a bit as well and keep Donegal progressing in the right way. But even yesterday, been down in the park, spectators being allowed back in, and you can kind of feel a bit of the buzz of sunny day. Like, Donegal hurling's in a great place, and I suppose long may it continue to flourish.
Yeah, good stuff. And John, your own life, you're quite busy there. Obviously we know you Unions hurler, Unions footballer as well. It's going to be a busy summer for you.
It's a busy summer, but look, I suppose games is what you want, and make the most of it while you can. And it's, I suppose, the way things are at the minute. I haven't really had much of a chance to get out near the football and the club yet, just the way the kind of championships are kind of week on week off the back of the league. But hopefully get out there at some point later in the year. I know the lads had a good win down in Bundoran with the football on Saturday as well. And then we had a good win yesterday evening over in Balbuffet with the hurlers. Like, so it's all good, but sure, that's what you want. You want to be playing games, and hopefully we can keep driving that on as well.
Great stuff, Sean. Listen, captain of Donegal, fair play to you. Keep up the good work and good luck in your trip away to Leitrim and the Nicky Rackard next game up, and I'll speak to you soon. I'll see you about the park.
Thanks, Brendan.
Right, folks, that's a wrap. Again, thanks so much for tuning in, and I want to say a thank you to my guests this evening, Colin Leith Gilligan, Sean McVeigh, Cathal O'Kane, Ryan McHugh for his interview and his brilliant performance yesterday. I want to thank Kenneth for producing here and keeping me right. Head of sport, Oisin Kelly. I'll speak to you next week.
The DL Debate is brought to you by the Dry Arch Complex and 24-hour service station, Letterkenny.